Should I hop off? I mean, I'm about 10 minutes from the house. Is it okay? Do you care if I'm in the car or not, or should I?
I don't care. Can't sound any worse than Ben.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and in this episode, we're going to talk about everyone's predictions for the 53-man roster. Today, we're going to focus on the offense. Next week, we're going to focus on the defense. Plus, I have a little... You know what really chaps my ass is Mike Florio and his obsession with wanting Kamara to get suspended. We might talk a little bit about that too. So anyway, with us today, we have Scott, Wesley, James, and Jason. Put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. That's the fastest intro you've ever seen.
That's what she said.
Now we can dispense with the bullshit and get straight into why people tuned in, and that's to hear everyone else's opinions on stuff. Because this is a show where we don't report the news, we comment on it. We have a bias to the Saints because that's who we are. We're the Dome Patrol Podcast.
That count?
We represent a niche community of New Orleans Saints fans from all around the world, that is. And this is a podcast for Saints fans, by Saints fans, no more, no less. So, as we said, let's talk quickly before we get into your 53-man roster stuff. I saw a video this morning of Mike Florio essentially trying to remind the NFL that, hey, don't forget that among all this Deshaun Watson bullshit, that you're going to want to make sure that you suspend Alvin Kamara for his felony.
And that's what really grinds my gears.
And that he was citing that the
allegedly, that's ignorant.
That I don't think it's alleged if it's on video.
I was thinking the same thing. He said like the alleged victim. I'm kind of like,
that's not me.
Videos could be faked.
It's another guy with a busted up face.
Right. So anyway, he said that the minimum for a felony is 6 weeks, not, I think some of us were talking about four possibly, but with Florio bringing up 6 weeks. And then also the fact that the video shows repeated blows is also adds to what could be severity of punishment. I didn't know this about the NFL policy, conduct policy, that if you hit somebody once, it's not as bad as if you hit them repeatedly. And felonies apparently are worse than misdemeanors. And the felony would include suspension without pay. And
I think he's okay missing a paycheck or two. I mean, I think it might start at six games, then they'll appeal and maybe Goodell will bring it down to four. I think that's kind of where we got the four games from. That's just, I mean, you know, he handles the appeal process. There's just a lot of other things, kind of like you mentioned with Deshaun Watson going on right now, that, you know, you think he could focus on other things other than Kamara. I mean, like today, one of the victims from the Deshaun Watson thing is suing the Houston Texans. Because they say they knew about it and should have disciplined him.
Well, so does that mean they're going to suspend all the Texans?
I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming she's looking for money at that point. But I'm just saying there's other topics you can be talking about other than Alvin Kamara.
Dan Snyder, that seems to be just flying under the radar, doesn't it? I mean, he's refused a subpoena to appear in front of is it a grand jury that he's got to appear in front of? I can't remember the exact story, but...
I don't think he was actually subpoenaed. I think he was invited, saying could be a subpoena if he keeps saying. But even if he gets subpoenaed, he's just going to go in front and plead the fifth and say I'm not going to answer any questions. He's
right. I mean, he's a fucking weasel. But I mean, Florio has been bringing up the Dan Snyder thing, and the only thing that sucks about Florio is that he was the one guy who was kind of not taking all the NFL's bullshit with Bountygate. So I like Florio because he was the one national guy to kind of stick up for us. I think this is just, it's the off season and he needs content. And that's what it is.
He's also a Bucks fan and knows that Tom Brady's a year older on his last year and anything that he's helping the Bucks. Yeah, the way it came off to me was he took a little bit of joy in pointing this out and reminding everybody that, hey, don't forget, Kamara's over here.
Dodson, we've got Dodson here. See, nobody cares.
So, can you imagine what he'd have done if we actually did get Watson? He'd be all over us.
He's kind of over the Browns. I mean, it's, yeah.
And I think, James, you mentioned on last week's episode that you felt like no matter what, that the NFL may intentionally delay any suspension until, or were you hopeful, until after the London game so that they could have Kamara featured?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're trying to get your product out there internationally and you suspend probably the best player on the field in that game. And he doesn't play. I still think this is going to get delayed and delayed and delayed, and he's going to play every game this season. But
well, to me, has there ever been a suspension that started in the middle of the season, or do they always are like the first?
Deontay Hardy last year.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, so it's, I think they,
I don't remember a Deontay Hardy playing last year.
The new Deontay Hardy. Yeah. He, cause I think his appeal and all that finished in the legal system early in the season. It took 5 or 6 weeks for the suspension to go through. So as long as Kamara can put this off till the first week of the season, which so far he's put it off till August, he's getting really close to the 1st of September. No matter what, he should play the first 4 or 5 games. I wouldn't be surprised to see another extension and this put off again as well. I feel like it looks pretty obvious looking at the Saints potential running back room that we'll talk about in a minute, that it's not depth that we have in that position. And the Saints aren't freaking out. We brought in a few people for workouts and we didn't draft people. And we're not really going crazy about it. So I just feel like they're acting like they know something we don't, which is that the suspension could be after this year.
Yeah, we could get on here and have a podcast and say, like, dude, Kamara could get suspended. Now we sound like we know what we're talking about. And, like, we have some kind of inside information. At the end of the day, he did the thing.
Clearly.
And he told the police he did it.
I have a feeling he gets a 4-game suspension, appeals it down to 3. I think there's a chance. What's going to help him is there's almost no chance of this guy end up pressing charges and being a witness for the police. Like, he's going to get some sort of out of unknown settlement. All of a sudden he's going to be uncooperative. The police aren't going to really pick it up, or he'll plead down to a misdemeanor. And so there's going to be a few things. He's going to get suspended. I just don't see it being 6 games. I see it being, eventually a 3-game suspension.
All right. So in the meantime, right, I feel like we do need some running back help then, if it's going to happen this year. And then the other thing I saw a couple of people talking about, a couple of different sources, whether reliable or not, talking about this, and it's not a report that something's going to happen. It's more of a hypothetical, like, hey, what if this could happen? And that is trading Courtney Roby for, say, like Kenyon Drake, or I think they were talking about also trading with the Steelers.
Courtney Roby.
Bradley Roby. Sorry.
Interesting.
Roby,
his brother,
Roby, I think of Bradley Roby to say like the Raiders for Kenyon Drake, or have you seen anything about this? And I'm not saying that it's been reported that that is what's happening. It's more somebody saying we need a running back. He could be trade bait. Has anybody thought of this? Would you want that?
I'm not sure we need to give up somebody like Roby for somebody who probably isn't going to play very much when Kamara's back, unless he then takes Ingram's place. But
so you trust Ingram to carry the load in those 4 games?
Nope.
No, that's going to be somebody we'll talk about a little later.
Ah, you see how each segment is a segue into the next segment? All right, that's careful planning. So then let's talk about your 53-man rosters. We're going to go by position group. Let's start with the quarterbacks.
Does anybody feel like Jameis Winston is in any jeopardy of making this team? Start the easy group, right? I mean,
I think the quarterback group is pretty much set.
Yeah. One, two, and three, all set.
And we're not, obviously Taysom Hill is not a quarterback anymore, correct?
Correct.
Right. He is in the tight end.
So Ian Book makes the only questionable thing could be Ian Book, depending on what positions we need. Do you think Ian Book is a lock?
I don't know that he's a lock, only because I honestly think that if Taysom is healthy and for some reason Winston and Dalton went down, I almost think they would play Taysom over Book.
I think that's been completely ruled out. He's not taking any snaps. He's not in the quarterback room. He's fully in the tight end room, learning how to be a tight end. He is going to be the tight end.
He was a below average quarterback when spending all of his time in the quarterback room, and was an average tight end when spending zero time in the tight end room. I think that it's clear that he's going to improve as a tight end and get worse while not playing quarterback at that.
I don't think it necessarily comes
talk about the tight ends then. Who are your tight ends besides Troutman and Hill, right?
You got Vannett, Troutman, Hill,
Juwan Johnson,
and Kroll all competing Kroll. For that last spot.
What about JP Holtz and Brandon Dillon?
Yeah, I mean, Holtz at least can be in a conversation, I believe. I don't see. I think Lucas Kroll is fighting with – Lucas Kroll would have to have an amazing season, but I think that Taysom Hill and Nick Vannett are your only two locks. Troutman's close to a lock, but, I mean, I think that Troutman could play like Troutman, and Lucas Kroll could capitalize on that and either knock Juwan Johnson or Adam Troutman off. I think four people make it.
Four tight ends?
Oh, for sure.
Ooh. Yeah.
I think for sure we keep four tight ends.
Yeah. All right. Well, I did have a handful. So
Taysom Hill can play multiple positions.
Yeah. But he's we're going to include him as a tight end.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
He's going to play a lot of special teams.
But do you three and him?
Correct.
Yes.
Everybody agree? So you're going what? Troutman, Hill, Vannett, and Juwan?
I'm going to predict that Kroll upsets either Juwan or Adam Troutman. And I believe it. I like Juwan Johnson a lot, but I think that as much as we invested in Troutman, the team would look really stupid to cut him. So I think that Kroll ends up making it.
So that's why I think Nick Vannett's going to be the odd man out.
Huh.
I think we go with Troutman, Hill, Kroll, and Juwan.
I remember being disappointed in him last year.
It was his first ever season playing tight end.
Yeah. And I mean, could Troutman be used in more of your blocking schemes where then they throw in like your Taysom Hill as like your H receiver type?
I mean, I don't know. We drafted Troutman to be a pass catcher, although that hasn't necessarily worked
out. The reason I can't take Vannett off is he's our only tight end that's actually a really good blocker. I mean, Taysom Hill does fine at blocking, but right. He's not. Good. And Troutman, I get it. I've heard other
podcasts. This is where Lord Crow comes in.
I've heard other podcasts, and I've seen people write calling Troutman an above-average blocker, and he is against when he gets lined up with a cornerback, a nickel cornerback. He is not a good blocker against these defensive ends and linebackers. Like, and Vannett can block those guys. I mean, Troutman's a
why they brought him in
against guys that are 5'9" and weigh 170. I don't get the good blocker thing out of Troutman.
Right. Well, if Troutman gives you that, like, you can't tell what we're gonna do with him because he might go out for pass or he might block. Whereas if Vannett's in,
he also might fumble. He may drop. Pass,
you never know what's gonna happen.
I also think that we see, I mean, the Saints the last couple of years with Drew in his arm where it was, and then last year with us having no wide receivers, we've played a lot of 12 personnel, which is one running back and two tight ends on the field. I think that there's a lot less of that with this receiver crew.
You need your receivers. I think we go to a ton of 11 personnel.
These real receivers.
And I'm completely making this up, but it feels right. I think we were one of the top, like, 12 personnel teams in the NFL last year, the last 2 years. We've played a lot of it. I think we go in a completely different direction this year. One, because we have no freaking tight ends that we can really count on. And two, our receivers look amazing. Got to get those guys on the field.
That's right.
Wes, right. I'm going to use what you just said a lot. I think I'm making it up, but it feels right.
feels right.
Yeah.
So that's the best thing about this podcast. We're not
sources have confirmed.
all right. So then let's talk about the receivers, and this is your most fun group, I think, that you're going to talk about, because all the excitement around here. So you got in the room right now. You got Michael Thomas, Chris Olave, Callaway, Traquan, Kevin White, Kwon Baker, Kirk Merritt, and Dajon Dixon.
Dajon.
Oh, I need glasses. Jarvis Landry, Deontay Hardy, Aesop Winston Jr., and Rashid Shaheed.
Yep.
That's 3, 6, 9, 12 guys. How many spots are you keeping for receivers? Five?
It's six minimum.
Okay. Yeah. I've got Thomas, Landry, Olave, Callaway, Traquan, Hardy.
So in essence of trying to have a debate, I left off Traquan just to have a debate on who is there anybody that could beat out Traquan. So I know we were all rag on him, but the guy does know the offense. He can block pretty well. I don't expect him to get a ton of playing time this year with all the other guys we bring in, but is there anybody else that can unseat him?
Not. Oh, I'm going to let y'all answer that.
Well, I think the debate on this is if Traquan can get replaced by Rashid Shaheed, Aesop Winston, or Dajon Dixon, which gives us a true another like downfield threat that Traquan has not been. I think it's I like the idea of Traquan not making the team. I like the idea of Deontay Hardy kind of moving to almost a full-time receiver thing so he doesn't get hurt on special teams. And Aesop returning punts or Dajon Dixon Shaheed, they've all kind of been those fast guys. I really liked the thought of it. I can't see the Saints with as much time as Traquan's been in the system and as good a blocker he is. I just can't see him. It's cool to call him not a lock. It's really hard to call to say he's not a lock to make the roster with what he does. And then also, last year, him and Jameis worked together the whole offseason and then didn't really – they got to play a couple quarters together in the season. So I like the idea of Traquan not making the team, and I said it out loud a couple months ago. I can't really buy into it.
So if we're keeping those six, then that means we're technically going to keep seven with – what, Winston being the kick returner?
Yeah, if we went with that, I end up thinking that we probably keep six. I think there becomes a real big discussion that we can have next week that kind of combines. There's either going to be six or seven wide receivers or eight or nine defensive backs. That's going to be the ebb and flow. I think if we keep one less defensive back, then it lets us keep a seventh receiver. For the purposes of this, we're trying not to be cute of who could be injured to start the season, which very possible that Traquan's hurt by week one for sure. But we're trying to not be cute with who could be hurt and who could be like moved around and activated. Like this all is our real 53 if everybody's healthy.
So it's kind of interesting that it's coming down to only so Callaway was your number one guy last year. And even though y'all didn't talk about him possibly not making a team, there's a possibility that he doesn't make the team.
He's number four. He's going to be number four.
He's a solid four.
Yeah.
I think Thomas Olave, Landry, Hardy, and Callaway is as locked as anything as far as your five.
So then Traquan, also one of the few receivers we had for some time last year, might not make this team. Hardy.
Is there any danger?
Hardy's going to make it because of special teams impact as well, right?
Not necessarily.
No, not necessarily, Jason.
That's from episode 100. You remember that?
Yep.
and frustrating thing that we're going to see, I'm sure, with training camp being covered this year and with all things, is we keep hearing all last year throughout workouts and then so far already this year that Kevin Smith looks like a first round receiver in practice, but he gets in games and cannot catch the ball.
Kevin White.
So do not be surprised if everybody's flipping out about how great he looks and the big catches he makes. And because we're going to have a lot of these top receivers not playing in preseason games. And we're going to see Kevin White and Dajon Dixon making big plays. And I mean, receivers are always the camp beast because that's what they're doing. They're catching the ball 45 and 50 yards downfield. And with Jameis's arm, it's going to be even worse this year with people freaking out about we should keep 11 receivers because they're all going to be it's going to be pretty nuts.
They're going to be catching against 3 and 4 guys who aren't going to make the other team
again. And then nobody ever pays attention to that. And like, I mean, they're going to be catching the ball with, our undrafted free agent with Smoke Monday trying to cover them over the middle or something. Mm-hmm. There's going to be that kind of stuff happening with some of these huge, very fast receivers. And Kevin White's going to be one of them. And at some point this year, I'm not going to be surprised if Kevin White is in a game for the Saints in the season and drops a pass. And then we never hear from him again. I think he's going to earn one more shot because of how big and fast he is.
I just love the complete 180 that we've done, where last year we had no receivers. We were begging and praying to the football gods to please send us somebody who can catch a ball. This year, we're literally saying, like, some of these guys just aren't good enough to make this team.
There were people on this show right now and multiple Saints fans thrilled when Kenny Stills was like, we solved it. We figured it out.
Right.
We're good, guys. Yeah. Here we go.
I'm sorry about that.
Can't sit still.
Right. There were just some good memories. That's all.
And we were really bad last year.
We were excited about Kevin White. I mean,
we weren't excited about anyone
who walked through that door and had two hands. We were excited about.
Hey, I would have been really excited if Dez Bryant would have come out of retirement to sign with us. I mean,
right?
Whatever the workout was going on, I would have been excited for it.
This will be the first year in 3 years that we're not all clamoring for him to come back. or T.O. or Ocho Cinco.
Ocho Cinco, yeah.
Odell Beckham's still out there.
They're not even worried about it. I mean, I'll take him, but not even worried about it.
This will be the first year that somebody's not going to ask, like, do the Lions still have the rights to Megatron? Like, can we get him for a 4th-round pick?
So let's play a little game real quick. If Odell was a reality to come to this team, who do you cut to make room for him?
All of them.
All of them.
Listen, what our record is, we get to week 12 or 13 and Odell is running and cutting and says, I want to win a back-to-back Super Bowls and I want to bring one to New Orleans, whatever we need to do. Like, I mean, you put him on the team as your 4th or 5th receiver. I mean,
dude, Thomas, good, Olave, good Landry, luck. And Odell.
Do what?
Just say the name, like Thomas, dude. Olave, Landry, Odell.
I mean, that would be the greatest wide receiver crew to ever be on the field at the same time, like without a doubt. And I don't even think it's debatable with you put those 4 guys on the field at the same time healthy. I don't even know what you could start to argue about with that.
If Jameis throws incompletions or interceptions, then he's the problem.
Yes.
All right. All right. Let's move to running back. All right. So in the room,
we did running back, didn't we?
No, we didn't.
Okay.
In the room, we've got Kamara, Ingram, Ozigbo, Dwayne Washington, Tony Jones Jr., and don't forget Abram Smith.
Yep.
So, how many are you going in with? Oh, you want to count fullbacks with this? We only have Adam
Prentice. Well, Adam Prentice, you have to. I mean, you have to include him here because there's. Yeah. I mean, you have to.
Unless we play Taysom at fullback.
Tight end.
Thought he was a tight end.
Well, that's why you bring H-back, four. That's back, why you bring tight four end, tight whatever. Ends, and you can move Taysom where you want to move him.
I think this is the first year that, at least for my purposes of a 53-man roster, that we do not have a fullback. Many teams do not have a fullback on their team. I think this is the first year that we don't. I think you have to factor in a little bit that because of the suspension that's forthcoming, and I just don't believe what I saw from Tony Jones Jr. last year. I don't know if I have faith in him being an NFL running back. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm predicting that I got Kamara and Ingram as your locks. Dwayne Washington is as close to a lock as possible, but that's really because of special teams, not because we want to see him handling the ball as a running back. And I'm hoping and believing and predicting that Abram Smith impresses. Kamara is not going to touch the ball during preseason games. Abram Smith's going to have plenty of opportunity to show that he can run over linebackers. Predict he does it and ends up making the team as our fourth running back. Yep, and having no Adam Prentice for week one.
That's the same four that I've got written down.
Yeah,
all right. Ingram, Washington, and Smith. Yeah.
Yeah. I had the two locks, Kamara and Ingram, and just the base, you know, all these guys are going to get a chance. And I just think Smith is going to be the guy that's going to be better than all those other guys. The question is, so that's three. Do we keep I guess if we don't have a fullback, we would keep four.
Yeah. I think Dwayne Washington's technically, I mean, I think he's making the team as a special teamer, but he's technically in the running back room and is that fourth running back.
But Wesley, I think you might be wrong about the fullback situation because we've kept Pete Carmichael, who's just going to retread Sean Payton's offense.
That's a different debate that we don't necessarily agree on.
Well, I mean, to me, for those people who believe that Carmichael is just going to roll out the same offensive scheme, then you are going to keep that fullback.
Jason just getting because called out.
Offense needs a fullback. I'm not just talking about Jason. I'm just saying in general, if you believe. Yeah,
Scott's in here too. I forgot. Jason and Scott.
That was definite. I said that was my question when we kept him on. It was a question. I don't know. Is he just going to run it back or is he going to do his own thing? I don't know.
He's just going to run it back.
Jason's like, here's my question. This is a bullshit retread. Wait, where's the question?
Right. Don't you think I'm right that this is a... That's the question.
Well, no, see, I use my auditor language. It appears that it could be.
So, if you don't bring the fullback, you solve that through your tight end. But Wesley, does that mean then you have to go with your two tight ends?
Yeah, for sure. And again, I'm not going to get into Adam Prentice will play games for the Saints this year. I'm just trying to, he's not my 53. Like they're going to do things to move people around and activate him on this day and not have this person activated and all that. I don't think he's going to play as much as these other four. And I think these other four are my quote unquote starting 53.
Okay. All right. So we did QBs, running backs, tight ends, receivers, all this stuff is the O-line. You want to take like dissect this by like let's see who your centers or you just want to do the whole line.
I think the line because we have so many people that are jumping all around.
All right, you got McCoy.
Well, I think there's six Penning. That are definite locks.
Yeah. Six locks.
Is that gonna be McCoy, Pete, Penning, Hurst, Lamp, Ruiz?
Ramchek, McCoy, Penning, Pete, Ruiz, and Hurst.
Yeah,
six long.
Those are my top six.
Pete, Hurst, Penning.
I kind of filled out eight locks. I didn't even think there was a debate. I added Throckmorton and Landon Young as those are my eight offensive linemen. That's what I think.
Yeah, I think that there could be eight or nine people kept. I've actually seen a couple of people predicting nine people being kept. I think Young gets really close to being that seventh lock. Lamp, Throckmorton, and Greenidge are all the same to me. Lamp has the experience, and we've got Greenidge and Throckmorton that are young guys.
Who's your starting five?
Ramchek. Yeah, I mean,
it comes down to the Penning Hurst thing.
Who's
going to win? One at a time.
Okay, Ramchek, Ruiz, McCoy, Pete, and then it's either going to be Hurst or Penning will be your last guy. I think that's what we were saying.
Okay. And then you're bringing on Lamp, Throckmorton, and Landon Young.
Yeah, I think Landon Young is for sure on the team. And then you've got...
Well, Throckmorton played a lot last year, didn't he?
Kind of out of necessity.
He didn't play poorly.
Yeah, I don't know. He took Andres Pete's place, didn't he? And the left side of the offensive line was not good last year.
But that was Ruiz's fault.
You know Pete's going to get hurt at some point.
Everything was Ruiz's fault. Right.
And Ruiz probably get hurt at some point too.
I think they'll want Lamp because of the veteran presence. But you're going to have somebody like
Lamp.
Greenidge is going to have to play really well while Landon Young doesn't play well to unseat him. But I could see that happening for sure. And I think with our the injuries we had on the offensive line last year, these young guys are going to get a chance to play a ton. Don't be surprised if Ramczyk plays like a half a quarter for the entire preseason. Ruiz is going to play a lot during the preseason. But your guys like McCoy and Ramczyk, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see them play very little.
Yeah, I mean, McCoy's got a chance to be top five center this year. Yeah. So he doesn't need to play in the preseason.
Yeah, if you can get McCoy not babysitting Ruiz, which again, I'm going to give Ruiz whatever, you know, chance we need. Of he's going to have the best coaching he has ever had. He's going to have the first ever complete preseason and training camp and all that of his career. He's never had that as an NFL player, as a guard. So let's see what Marone can do with him. Streif is going to be a better coach this year than he was last year, especially when he was basically coaching virtual for a lot of the offseason. So Ruiz was, he looks dominant on one play and then looks like he's never played offensive line on the next play. If we can get him calm and making good decisions, Ruiz playing decent. I mean, McCoy, like you said, James, top five center if he's not babysitting one of the guards.
Yep.
All right. So that's it. That's your offense there. So how many? All right, let's count. You have three QBs. I want to see
four running backs.
Four running backs, four tight ends.
Three, four tight ends. You said six receivers.
Six receivers. And eight offensive linemen.
Offensive linemen. All right, that's 25 right there. So you're about on track. And then
can we just go ahead and say that our three specialists are Will Lutz, Blake Gillikin, and Zach Wood? I mean, like we can just go ahead and knock that out. We don't even need to do an episode on the special teams.
Yeah, that's a given.
Jeff,
that was gonna be our 4th of July episode. Kickers. That was gonna be our 4th of July episode. All right.
So is Brett Maher coming back? Do we need to have a Brett Maher versus Gillikin or Will Lutz episode?
Yeah, right. All right. So then we did your special teams. Yeah.
So we're at 28 then.
28. Yeah.
So then there'll be the decision of figuring out how to get 25 people, which I think is like 17 of them are defensive backs.
Yep.
on the defense next week.
That'll be fun. So tune in next week,
everybody. Jason, you are muted. I'm sure you're making the best point ever, Jason, but you are muted and nobody can hear you.
Sometimes it's for the best. I do have 9 DBs making the team, but that also includes JT Gray for special teams.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
I know we're not going to get into defense, but
I've got 10
teasers.
Oh, wow.
I've got 11
next week.
Here I was thinking I was being crazy.
That's right.
I went a little short.
All right. Does anybody? Oh, go ahead.
No. It was going to be a spoiler for next week. I'll save it for next week.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Those are the teasers there. So does anybody have any final thoughts? Leslie, Jason.
I'll go ahead and mention I was excited with what the Pelicans did last week in the draft. Got Dyson Daniels, got Liddell in the second round, who was projected to do in the first. So it does mean there's an extra roster spot they got to figure out. They got to trade or cut somebody, but sky's the limit. And then Zion should be signing his extension pretty soon.
So who was the third guy they drafted then? He's not going to be in the league this year, is he? The Croatian guy?
No, they're keeping him in Europe for another year or two. He's like a 6'10 foreign guy who can shoot a little bit. So
okay,
he'll stay over in Europe for a little bit.
Righto. I'm practicing for London.
You should definitely walk around and say that all the time.
Try harder.
great move, chap. Be Bobby. Better.
All right.
I want to throw something in. LSU baseball, I'm telling you, look out for him the next few years. Jay Johnson is killing it recruiting. He's going to have the number one high school recruiting class. He just signed this freshman from North Carolina State who's transferring in. They signed a pitcher from Vanderbilt. And in the middle of the MLB baseball season, he just stole the Minnesota Twins, who were in first place, stole their pitching coach, and he will now be the pitching coach at LSU next year.
That's money, right?
That Tiger's Den segment is brought to you by
the NC State hitter, like, was the best freshman hitter in college baseball, sure, at least led in home runs.
Led in home runs. They call him the tank.
The booster saw Ole Miss winning the title, and they're like,
That's not happening again.
Real quick, I'll say non-Saints related, I'll recommend two shows. The Old Man, which is Jeff Bridges, is an awesome show, and it just got renewed for season two.
What's that on? It is
one of the
Hulu.
Hulu? Yeah.
Okay.
It's on FX, I believe. It is
a really cool show. And then the other show, have no idea what it's on. It's called The Bear. It's a cool show about a famous chef who worked at French Laundry in Napa, and his brother who owned a deli in Chicago, like a piece of crap, like
an deli. Italian beef sandwich
like
place.
He's died, and so this brother is going to try to help his dead brother's business, and it's about the shit he's dealing with when he went from like one of the best restaurants in the country.
Is it a reality show or
it is definitely wrapped like a drama. It is a comedy. There are funny things and stuff going on. If you've ever worked in the restaurant industry, it is very entertaining. It's definitely
it's
called The Bear.
It's on FX and Hulu. It stars one of the kids from Shameless.
Okay. Both of them are, like, honestly, I've watched a couple episodes. They're two of the best first two episodes of any shows I've seen in a long time. They are great shows.
Yeah.
I was thinking about those. I'm going to have to add them to my list.
They're both fantastic.
Okay. All right. Excellent. All right. James, final thoughts?
Yeah. One thing we forgot to talk about earlier on, actually, was DeMario Davis's contract extension.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's
right. He's gotten through 2024 now.
Yeah, it's a one-year extension, isn't it? With a bit of extra money tacked on top.
Yeah, some extra cash.
Yeah, and I mean, it didn't do anything to hurt. I think most of the bonus stuff, it doesn't hurt this any of the salary cap stuff because it's all in bonuses. But it's stuff that he will make, so it is kind of a raise for him, not this year, but moving forward. Pretty cool.
Well, I like it too because it's performance-based too, so he can't just ride it out.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
And with him, I think this is great for the Saints. It's showing that we've truly like focused on, we're being a defensive team. All these wide receivers that we have, that is amazing. But we are a defensive team. And what we've changed since DeMario Davis came in is pretty incredible. And is real quick on DeMario Davis, is he the best free agent signing besides Drew Brees in the history of the Saints? I mean, it's got to be in the debate, right?
It's close.
I mean, you got Jabari, maybe.
Jonathan Vilma.
Vilma was a trade.
Oh, Vilma was a trade.
Vilma was a trade. Shockey was a trade.
There was a safety that we signed one time that did a lot of.
There was that one season. Yeah. That one guy.
Pete's on my browner.
Jarris Bird. I know what you mean. Don't worry.
No, I mean
Spiller.
I think that it's. I mean, it's. It's almost not debatable. Like, I mean, and again, I don't know if that makes it sad of like when we talk about Aaron Brooks being the second greatest quarterback and like that just shows how bad the quarterbacks were. I mean, maybe we haven't been a free agent destination for a long time.
Jabari Greer was a really good free agent.
That's one that's up there.
Yeah. He just didn't have the longevity to stack up, right?
Injury that I've never watched to this day.
That was gruesome.
Yeah.
But pretty still awesome, DeMario. And again, I mean, on top of being this great signing, we got him for super cheap. Everybody thought it was a stupid deal.
Even right?
Like they thought we spent too much on him because he came from the Jets, who were terrible. And not only has his numbers been great, I mean, the kind of leader he is and what he's been for the team. And I think he stabilized our locker room. We've always had some crazy things that came out of our locker room and, you know, people swinging belts and all kinds of weird stuff happening. And he's really stabilized the locker room, but been looking a leader and been fantastic too.
Well, look who took
over. And he's a local guy. He's from Jackson, Mississippi, or Brandon, Mississippi. And he went to I think he graduated from the same school that who's your boy from the quarterback? Gardner Minshew graduated from.
Who are you taking to when you say where your boy, like whose boy is Gardner Minshew?
Jason loves him.
Okay.
Wait, what?
Who loves Gardner Minshew? Who doesn't like Gardner Minshew? I mean, not as a player.
It could have been an option at QB.
Can anybody here name what team he's on, like in the next 3 seconds?
J- Jacksonville.
No. Philly.
I think he's on the Eagles, but he's could on be Eagles. On the Bears.
It doesn't matter. It's not about his quality of play. It's about his
hair and his mustache.
What he puts out there. Yeah.
He is backing up Jalen Hurts for the Eagles.
Right. He's a better character than like Cam Newton's character. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
he's taking the
mantle from Fitzmagic, kind of being the interesting, crazy, weird backup that everybody wants to be the starter.
Yeah. So one more thing then before we go. We all now have tickets. All of us have a ticket for the game.
We all have tickets. I love how James
Some of us are sitting further away than others, but we're all going to be there.
That's right. Once we get through the gates, we part ways.
Some of us get free halftime drinks and a pregame.
You get one meal. Free halftime drink. Right. I read the fine print.
You get one free tea. You get
Earl Grey.
Right? Yeah. I might be in the process of sorting us out a little pregame venue anyway. So watch this space for that one.
Excellent. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, guys, that's all the show we have for you right now. And I'd like to thank our loyal listeners for downloading every single week and for telling your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Follow us on Facebook. Look for Dome Patrol podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast and at Dome Patrol UK. Follow us on TikTok at Dome Patrol Prods. James, last week you were saying like Dome Patrol Pro Z, or you said Pro Z, and it took me a minute to realize that you were saying Z as in the letter Z. Zed. So for those of you who maybe looked for Dome Patrol Zed, it's actually Dome Patrol Prods with a Z. So make sure you follow us on TikTok. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, go to Dome Patrol Podcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, extra long intro, donkeys.
DomePatrolProstate.com.
You get your blood sugar checked and you check it often.
Good night, Hoot Hat Nation. I need to do that again.
No, that was
great. That's fine.
We're going to edit it out anyway. Yeah.
This one's for all the suckers who still believe in love. This one's for you. This one's for all the suckers who still believe in love.
For all the suckers who still believe in love.